Early on in my solo piano tours in space, I was lucky enough to find work at the Celio 16 Orbital Outpost. It was a regulation deep space gig. The pay's pretty good and you meet some interesting folks. But deep space is deep space. The final frontier is mostly backwater. I was booked for about a month as the house pianist and MC at the Drink and Drop. It was the only club for about a quadrillion something or others. At the time, I needed the work and the exposure, but I hoped it wouldn't be the radiation or freezing vacuum kind. The Drop was a cliché space station piano lounge watering hole in the wall, complete with robo-bar tentacles, AI table attendants, and a few Borg bouncers. The manager was a Jabba-style slobbering slug alien, but he was a lot nicer than most human bar managers. Out in deep space, humans are in the minority, but not always scarce enough. Having been a human my whole life, I'm not a fan of large populations of us. The Drop was so remote that no one had even heard of Earth. That would probably help my reputation. The atmosphere of the bar felt thicker than air, even though it was standard mixture and pressure. Flickering hollow neons cast outdated corporate logos into decade-old recycled air. The place had a decent-sized stage. It was well-lit and it had a great sound system, but it was still a hole. No sound man. Just an AI mixing board with an attitude. On good nights, a typical smorgasbord of unidentifiable alien species gyrated to the music and whatever access their body types would allow. At its most frenzied, the dance floor was a heaping organic slop of tentacles, antenna, limbs of various morphologies flailing and whipping to no absolute tempo. Most nights, there was a quasi-decent crowd in the club, considering the population density in the sector is around 10 to the negative 16 gajillion sentient beings per cubic light year. You don't meet many music connoisseurs or get any really big acts out in deep space. Despite or because of that, about 2 weeks through my contract, I started to attract a little crowd of my own. The locals were getting to like me. On one of my last gigs at the Drop, I got to play for a full house. The place was bumping thanks in part to a nearby convention of programmers working on a new security standard for a Borg operating system or something. Clearly they weren't working very hard. The dance floor was all action and I was in rare form at the piano, abusing glissando like a Looney Tune and hamming it up on the mic. A guy named Bill told me that the piano sounded like a Rancor slaughter carnival and the microphone smelled like a stale synthetic beer. And I told him never to smell my microphone again. Alien species that I hadn't seen in person were grinding and freaking with species that I'd previously thought to be fictional. The real eye-catcher in the crowd was the hive creature spinning and weaving front and center on the dance floor. It was a swirling riot of disgusting, fat, flying bugs collaborating as a single functioning intelligence. I could have sworn it was giving me compound goo-goo eyes. Streamers of her insectoids bobbed out of a vaguely assembled head region, creating obscene cartoon eyes that bugged out right towards me. I assumed it was a she, but for a species that amounted to my worst nightmare with wings, gender really wasn't the issue. I unwisely obliged the she-hive's gaze with a wink and a nod from the piano. The swarm whipped and expanded her frenzied whirling in response. She swished about in the air, left to right, up and down, bulging and pulsing with the sickening buzz of a million greasy little wings. I tried to ignore the nauseating display and go about my business of rocking the house. A solid chunk of the crowd was no less unpleasant to look at, but they were all digging the sound, so I got back to my groove as best I could. Concentrating on my jam, I almost didn't notice the she-hive streaming right over the stage soundboard until she was rippling right up around my legs. It felt like a brood of locusts trying to mambo up my pants, which is essentially what it was. Before I even missed a beat, the high-voltage security vaporizer arced through the air and zapped about half her insectoids to dust. The Borg bouncers didn't even have to raise a blaster. Very nice. The rest of her insectoids scattered and reassembled in diminished form a few feet away from the stage, sulking in the chittering tones of a thousand clicking mandibles. Just as I was thinking how that would make a rockin' bug spray commercial, a second swarm slammed into the two Borg bouncers nearest the stage. What may have been some kind of demented, jealous hive suitor was a much larger swarm consisting of individual insects slightly bigger than a big toe. The quarreling swarms wrapped around the Borgs and harassed them like junior sales associates. Glittering chaos ensued. Sheets of fat flying insectoids careened through the smoky rays of the stage lights in dazzling flocks and tornadoes. The struggling vaporizer shot bifurcating filaments of electricity into the air, which leapt from insectoid to insectoid, atomizing them into briefly glowing clouds. All the while, I was trying to carry on a solo piano gig. The furious laser light show of carnage and the increasingly unbearable smell of flash-roasted insect goo was getting to me, and either I fainted or passed out, whichever's masculine but secure enough not to be too macho. In any case, I only lost consciousness long enough to become completely disoriented and fall halfway off my piano stool. Then things got out of hand. One of the Borg bouncers, a superbly engineered female, leapt onto the stage. She pulled me from the piano like I was luggage, heaved me right over her shoulder, and ran straight through the hive swarms and out an emergency exit. Somewhere in the corridor approaching the landing bay, I finally realized that I was no longer playing piano. In my bobbling haze, I could just make out that a mangled chunk of my very expensive keyboard was following closely behind me, attached to the Borg's boot by a sinewy tangle of very expensive electronics, and some relatively inexpensive patch cables that were not mine anyway and therefore less significant. I passively observed that I was moving at a brisk pace under locomotion that was not my own. The Lady Borg was carrying me like a sack of potatoes, and I stared in dazed detachment at the sparks flying off my keyboard as it was scraped to fragments against the ground. From my somewhat undignified position over her shoulder, I noticed her firm, generous, leather-clad behind alternating flex as she ran. As she ran full tilt somewhere, with me over her shoulders. A slow, methodical train of realization in my mind was just making it to the part where I wasn't supposed to be on an amusement park Borg ride. Just as my brain was finally catching up with my head, she skidded to a halt and flopped me into the passenger seat of an idling hyper shuttle. She hurtled over me into the pilot seat, giving me a nice action peek at her legtronics and the subtle crease of a genetically enhanced badonkadonk. She poured her sexy chassis into the seat like it was molded for her frame. Her chassis then automatically bolted onto the seat, so I guess it probably was molded for her frame or a compatible model. The Atmo shield closed and she hit the ignition and we shot into black space. She didn't look at me at all. The side of her face exposed to me was obscured by her scanning hardware. She was a female and a finely tuned one at that. For that I was grateful. Still, something about her bothered me. Specifically, it bothered me that she had pulled me off stage and threw me in a hyper shuttle without even asking or buying me a drink. It began to occur to me that the Borg cutie might be kidnapping me, and not in a good way. She was hot, but her servo hydraulics, nanosensors, and advanced AI would make my escape unlikely. An obsessively jealous hive couple is always dangerous, but an unhinged Borg is worse. An unhinged Lady Borg is, well, not worse, but the Borg part is still dangerous, but the Lady part is, okay, it's worse. When faced with these predicaments, as I so often am, I try to remember the wisdom of the ancient space piano pioneers. As Dr. John's cybernetic reincarnate always said, better kidnapped by a Borg babe than a Borg dude, or some hairy butch Borg dyke or something. That may not make much sense to the uninitiated, but the point is, no matter how bad things are, they could always be less bizarre. And what fun would that be? My sexy captor started pushing buttons, lots of them, and not in a good way. The hyper shuttle powered up, probably getting ready to jump into hype or something. I began to think going wherever we were going might not be in my best interest. She turned to me, revealing a smooth and remarkably preserved olive complexion, interrupted only by a few tiny valves and tube inserts. One eye was replaced with a thin blue laser emitter which scanned incessantly. Her organic eye glowed with a feminine longing and pulsed with an eerie low-voltage hum. Her slender nose turned slightly up at the tip, and full, fleshy lips hinted a faint blue from bad circulation. Her hair was red, too. I always had a thing for redheads. The more lethal, the better. That's got to lower my life expectancy way more than playing piano in outer space. Was I paranoid? Was she a sexy assassin or just an obsessive groupie? Which would be worse? I thought it was better to be on the offensive in either case. When confronting an entity of unknown intentions but known feminine dimensions, there really is one good course of action. Work the mojo. If I'm going to be killed by a beautiful cyborg, I'm going out like a player. I steeled myself for the seduction. With programmed intensity, I peered into her organic eye the way a Vulcan nerd viper stares down its prey just before it strikes with lethally over-complex phrasing. I eased over the console onto her side of the tiny cockpit. With a serpentine caress, I wrapped my arms around her slender torso assembly and dove into her cold, deadish lips. I jumped through a frozen waterfall right into the summer sun, ladies and gentlemen. With that kiss, she warmed right up. Her heat exchanger slammed on audibly and drew electrical loads so suddenly from her processors that her actuators failed, and for half a second she slumped into my arms. Her failsafe kicked in, and she pulled back, her laser scanning me in the moment. "Thanks," she said, a little taken back, but definitely not objectionable. "Anytime. So I guess you'll be pushing me out the airlock now." It was a pity plea, but I thought the aloof wit might win some points. Between my radiant charm and quirky good looks, I might have bought myself a way out. At least it was a good opener. Or finale.
"No, but we can't stay here. Those swarms were only a diversion to distract us from the assassination attempt," she said, with honest concern in her tenderly tinny digitized voice.
"Someone's trying to kill me?" I blurted with damaged calm. "What the hell? Like you need a diversion to kill me on stage. I play piano for a living. I am a diversion. Was I missing something? Am I missing something?" I demanded cowardly.
"No, they wanted to kill me."
She was serious. Suddenly, things made less sense than they weren't making before. The swarm had definitely come for me. At least the female part of it had. If someone else is trying to kill her, for whatever reason, then why would she bring me way out here? The obvious answer hit me like a cold shower at a strip club. Obvious to a moderately inebriated piano player recently snatched directly from his piano stool in the middle of a show, which has to be pretty obvious. "I'm a hostage, right? Give it to me straight." The words fell out of me like I dropped them. Then I felt like I shouldn't try to pick them up or she would know they were mine. "No," she burst. Her scanning eye sparked projections of ones and zeros like a miniature laser light show. I recognized the cyborg behavior right off. I'd broken a few cyborg hearts before. She was crying in binary. I was touched. I'm not that insensitive, but I was confused and frustrated about how my show had been stopped and being out in deep space with an unstable cyborg dame with no explanations forthcoming. You must forgive any breakdowns in my normally genteel demeanor. "Enough of that, you crazy broad! What the hell's going on already?" I barked. At that point, I'd played all my cards, so I was ready to get on with whatever was going on. She stopped projecting in binary, scanned me hard, and gazed with her organic eye. She was thinking of how to explain something she didn't want to explain. I thought I'd help her along. "Who is trying to kill you?" I said, with a little more effort towards calm and self-preservation. She seemed to appreciate the question.
"Your manager," she said with apparent satisfaction.
That didn't seem likely or plausible, at least no more so than the possibility that she was on the fritz and might decide to squeeze jelly out of my skull at any second. But to satisfy my curiosity, I ran with it. "Why is he trying to do that?" I asked. She looked down and removed the tip of her thumb, revealing a small tool, and began to absently adjust calibration rods in her long, beautiful legtronics. "All right. She's got machine parts. She's got girl parts, too. It's not like I'm getting turned on by a Swiss Army knife here. Give me a break. You try touring in deep space and see where your libido takes you."
"He wants me dead, because I'm not going to let him manage you anymore," she said, almost wearily. "He doesn't know what's best for your career."
"It just keeps getting better and better. I definitely need some psychopathic cyber babe getting involved in my music career. On-stage kidnapping is always a plus. Somehow, I fought the indignity and kept a level head through my outrage. Though she had been mostly docile, I was sure she was unstable, malfunctioning, and I had just made the mistake of making out with her. I'd have to play it cool for now. But if she started talking about commitment, I'd save myself the trouble and take a long walk out a short airlock. Who, in your opinion, knows what's best for my career? I begged, with as much sincerity as I could muster.
I do,
she said, as if I didn't see that one coming. Why is that? I pursued valiantly. She paused, shook her head, and stared up into space with dreamy, digitized abandon.
It's because I think you should tour the Borg sector with me, and I think that I should open up for you and sing backup and maybe choreograph some moves for you, she said in pleading earnest.
I play piano, I don't have moves, I corrected. She forged ahead, undeterred.
I have some amazing song material and some dope moves for you. I know some people who want to book me already. With my voice and your music, we could...
Her laser shorted out briefly and then came back online. She scanned me with religious intensity.
We could really make some music together, Jelly.
She finished with a coy flutter of her facial hardware that might have been sexually suggestive or a damaged reflex algorithm. The confusing mist suddenly lifted on the situation and everything became very clear in my mind. Everything, that is, except the swarms, the kidnapping, and pretty much the rest of the situation. Other than that, the clarity was astounding. What eluded my Gnostic awakening was the very thing that I was becoming aware of. I reeled in an enlightened haze. In my stupor of realization, a news clip flashed through my mind. From a few months before, something about a dangerous new strain of Borg malware. The realization hit me like a Bernmackian slapping plant. It was a hardware virus. One of the worst. A relentless strain, specific to female Borg hardware. She had contracted the infamous Hyper Diva Borg Worm. It had completely reprogrammed her operating system to make her desperately crave pop stardom. She would do anything and anyone to achieve it. The virus is particularly dangerous because a singing Borg is nearly unbearable to living creatures, plant and animal. Worse, it can wipe out entire Borg networks. With an unprecedented streak of nobility and courage, I resolved that I could not allow an infected Borg to return to civilization online. She can infect other Borgs and potentially wipe out the entire Borg workforce. Among other things, Borgs constitute the majority of low-wage food service jobs. They make sandwiches, man, good sandwiches. And without Borg security, I'd have to rely on completely organic life forms, and you just can't trust them. I had to do something, but I was completely out of my element. I was out in the middle of nowhere with an attractive, over-anxious, completely talentless womanoid who wanted to use me to further her entertainment career. Supposedly, that's a common scenario in the music industry, right? That's what my manager keeps telling me anyway. My manager's vain fabrications aside, I knew what I had to do. I dreaded it, but I knew it, so I did it. Let's hear you sing. Famous last words. She grinned a wide, mechanically enhanced smile and emitted a tuning pitch from a piezoelectric somewhere within her frame. With no warning, she opened her throat and belted a wide vibrato like it was Last Call at Satan's karaoke bar. There are no words for the cortex-wrenching horror of a Borg alto singing pop covers in full voice. If there were words for it, they would hurt your ears to hear them, so I wouldn't go there. The hypershuttle's power system flickered on and off, but the redundant life support kept me breathing, and unfortunately, kept her singing. My wits returned halfway through the first verse, and I burst into desperate applause to shut her up, lest I lose control and break for the airlock. I breathlessly told her that she had powerful, raw talent which I could help hone into something truly groundbreaking. I said that with her singing and dancing, we could blend a style that the whole sector would really respond to. I explained that if we were to work together so closely in music, then we really should strive to understand each other more fully in every dimension, spiritually and physically. Of course, to begin, I suggested that we should explore our compatibility as a man and a womanoid. I know, I lay it on a little thick, but mechanical women like it viscous. To her credit, she was the cutest threat the universe's low-wage bionic workforce had ever faced. Even though one of her baby blues was a laser, well, I admit that was disturbing. Anyway, she was cute, all things considered. I leaned in close and started with some exploratory petting and massaging, using my tender skills to loosen the fittings around her access panels. I was on a mission, but I am never adverse to enjoying my work. She was very giving. The virus's ego drivers were overloaded by my masterful seduction and made her less defensive of critical systems. She grabbed my hand and pushed it right down into her primary transformer circuit, right into the delta of those long legtronics. Her silicon semiconducting sweet spot. I began to stroke the area slowly, preparing to quickly stimulate and overload the relay circuit and hopefully shut her down. She unexpectedly pulled my hands away and restrained them. Crap. Either she liked it rough, or she'd figured out what I was trying to do. Neither was good for me. She jumped up and took control. She straddled me, gyrating, swirling and dipping in a very sexy cyborg Macarena subroutine. She was way into it, but she had my arms locked up. Man, it was getting hot. Gotta focus. And shut this crazy Borg down, this crazy sexy red-headed engineer to please. Engineering aside, I had a job to do. I may be just your average piano-playing spaceman, but I know there are more important things in life than getting it on with a viral Borg babe. Probably sandwiches. I buttressed my crumbling resolve and went on a last-ditch offensive. I wriggled a hand free and used her clamps to lock her chassis back onto the seat. I slid out from under her and gave her a sly wink. I maneuvered around behind her. She was all too agreeable to that idea. She locked the other clamp down herself and started bucking wildly against me like a wild bronc Cadillac beast or some other thing that bucks wildly. Almost too much for my poorly developed self-control. I knew if I let it go on any longer, I would be trapped in the silky vice of her delicately sculptured skin grafts. With a lunge, I grabbed at her primary transformer and pulled hard. She went binary bananas for an instant before the circuits lost contact with the relay. She went limp, then shuddered. Stillness and silence trickled in as the last mechanical whine spun out of her. She was turned off. After all that turning on, what a big, stupid waste. Why me? No local ladies for jelly, just a horny Borg with the viral ambition to operatically obliterate her race. Figured I better get her chassis over to the authorities. I flew back into a dock near the outpost with no fanfare for my hetero heroism and explained the whole thing to a pair of totally disinterested cybercops. They took her with no respect for her lovely form and wheeled her away in a cart like she was an engine block or a transmission. Too bad. I wonder what kind of Borg she was like before she got infected. Doesn't matter. She wasn't my first Borg. Hell, technically I never even slept with her. Probably should have, though. She would have been down with it. It's not like I can catch a Borg virus or anything. A little late for all that. I went back to the club to see if any diehards had stuck around or if anyone had noticed that I had been kidnapped. I still had to get paid for the night. First off, I needed to have a talk with whoever was working the door and let those swarms in. Then, I'd have a talk with IT and see what jackass was working the firewall.